I'm Mark Cantor. Last November, I went to the Dominican Republic on a baseball tour with a company called Japan Ball. Sounds odd, right? Well, my friend Shane Barkley bought Japan Ball from Bob Bevesi. People know the Bevesi family, from Bob Bevesi at the end of 2019, beginning of 2020. Japan was as tough as anybody else. They just closed shop. So I had suggested to him when I was on the trip in 18, I said, you know, you ought to go to the Dominican. And he said, you know, he had worked for MLB in the Dominican. And he said, that's a great idea, because I said, you know, a lot of people don't want to go to Dominican for a lot of reasons. So he did a trip in 21, and then he did this in 22. Normally, when I go on a trip and I'm paying somebody to run the trip, I don't look at the itinerary at all. My wife looks at all the itineraries, but she wasn't with me. So she would call and ask me, what are you doing? You're doing this, this, and this, I guess. I don't know. So I made the assumption that we were just going to go see Winter League games. But turns out I would be wrong with that assumption in a sense. What we actually did was we interacted with potential major leaguers. We watched Winter League games. We visited the Dominican Baseball Museum, or called it the Museum of the Dominican Baseball Player. I want to show you a little bit of our location and a gift that I brought home. First things first, we stayed at a place called Casa Hemingway. You can look at it on Google Maps to see where it is, but I can tell you, it's on the water. A lot of things are on the water in the Dominican. Beautiful place if you ever want to go. First thing that they did when we got there, they put up a, we got into a conference room, and they put up a screen of Dominican ball players. Color photos of Sammy Sosa, you know, the Dominican dandy Juan Marichal, David Ortiz, and others. But in the bottom middle, there's a picture of a fellow in black and white photo with a New York Giants jersey and a New York Giants hat. And they said, anybody here know who he is? And I'm looking around, because I really don't want to be the expert here, because that's an interesting thing as well. But I do answer, that's Ozzie Virgil Senior. And they were surprised. Shane Barkley, who's the owner of the company, he said, well, I want to tell everybody Mark's in Sabre, and he's the one person who would know it. And what I find is he had a right-hand man named Pachi, who was a ball player, and he actually tried out for the Phillies, and he tried to go to make it with the Phillies in the early aughts. And Pachi told me later that the Dominicans really don't know their history. The players don't know their history, the people don't know their history. So he was happy that you had somebody here to help with the history. First full day, we go to San Pedro de Macorís. How many people know San Pedro de Macorís? San Pedro de Macorís is one of the places, it's the hotbed of where the great players come from. And they actually do, a lot of them do come from the San Pedro. I don't know if you can tell, but that's a bat with balls on top. That's the entrance to San Pedro de Macorís. That's not the only entrance. There are other things that San Pedro brought to the table. They brought sugar, and there was a place where railroad lines came in. But now baseball's it. And baseball is an export for the Dominicans. The baseball players are. These are two of the people that are on our tour. I want to say some of the photos I have are mine, and some are from Japan Ball from Shane Barkley as well. Look, we go to the Arias and Goodman Academy. I call it the Arias Academy because that's all that they mention. Now, the people that run these academies, they're not doing it really out of the goodness of their heart. They're doing it because, like Mr. Arias, is called a buscone. A buscone is an agent. A buscone is a person who's trying to determine, we're going to build up these players and trying to determine who the best one is, so that when that player gets signed by a major league team, and we will pick Juan Soto, because we met Juan Soto's father on the trip, we will pick Juan Soto. So whoever is his buscone, the buscone wants to glom onto him and said, when you sign with the major league team, I get a certain percentage of that signing. That's the only time he's going to get the signing. The question is, how much is that percentage? That percentage is what the buscone negotiates most likely with the parents. Percentage could be 12%, it could be 60%. And I asked somebody at the MLB bank in Santo Domingo, do we stop that? And in reality, he said no, because the major league teams want to get the players. And that's what they want. So just to show you, this little boy here, he's 10 years old. And he's not the youngest there. This is on a Friday. It's important for me to say this is on a Friday. Let's just say playing ball might be a bit more important than going to school. And in the Dominican, you can look it up, they don't have to go to school every day. Including the weekend, just look it up. If you're a ball player and you're in these academies, that's important. In here, in this academy, the kids range from about age 8 to 14. You don't want to go beyond 14, because then that's when they become more adult, you know. But 8 to 14, they get trained, and they were great. I can tell you, when I was 8 years old, I couldn't play like these kids. I mean, it is just amazing. And I asked a question of Mr. Arias' son. Mr. Arias wasn't there. Mr. Arias' son, I said, what's the deal here? Why are they so good? He said, well, we believe in God. And I don't know if you can see it, but in the dugout there, in the top left, there's something about Jesus, I think. I think it's up there. So God is very important to them. And they believe it. You know what? They're creating great players. Who am I to argue? So can I? I wanted to play this as a video. Well, I guess. Sorry, guys. Well, this is a video that I can't play. All right, we'll just. Shane Barkley is the pitcher. We're at on a Saturday morning, we are at an event where lots of parents bring their very little boys to come, and this is in the middle of Santo Domingo, and they're playing. The reason why we're there is I believe Shane Barkley and Japan Ball provided some seed money, so everybody came and they were feeding Japan Ball. So Shane is throwing, and there's these little boys, and everybody's just hanging around. I must say, and I don't think I'm going to offend anybody here, it's a very, the Dominican's a very patriarchal society. And I must say, there were little girls on the side who were throwing the ball, like in a league of their own, when there were the black women throwing the ball, it was almost the same sort of thing. But it's a very patriarchal society. It is a male-dominated society, and it's the boys. And everybody's pushing for those boys to become players. Again, Jesus is very, very important. God is important. Again, that's the story there. They were very happy to see us, to interact with us, because they thought of us. They didn't realize, you know, we're just, we were attending the thing with Shane, but they thought we were like the benefactors too. Kind of an odd little thing. So We go to the, now MLB has academies, and I think there's, I think all but one team has an academy there. So the first academy we go to is the Tigers Academy. Very, you know, Tigers Academy, an ex-minor leaguer is talking in the back there, and he's explaining what's going on. Players were not there. You know, we got there in the off season for them. But the interesting thing about the academy, especially the Tigers, is we go into a conference room, and yes, they show whiteboards of, you know, maybe how to make a double play and doing this and that. But the important thing is they also have where they're teaching them English, because not only do you have people there from the Dominican, players from the Dominican, you have players from the islands. So you actually might have players from in the islands and the Central America, South America, from Mexico, Puerto Rico, Venezuela, and also from the English-speaking islands, you might have the Bahamas and the Virgin Islands. So they have to make sure that they bring all the players together and figure out a way to communicate, because you don't want to have interpreters everywhere. They got to figure it out. And it was an interesting thing to see. And these academies are just beautiful, fully manicured ball fields. They have the weight training center. Then they took us around to our, we didn't know this, it was a surprise, to our favorite team's academies. So folks went to the Mariners Academy, my friend Lois, so happy that we got to the Blue Jays Academy. She wore a Vladimir, well, she didn't wear it today, the day, but almost every day she wore a Vladdy Guerrero shirt. Of course, they took me to the Phillies Academy. We went to the Cleveland Academy, and two fellows went to the Yankee Academy. I'm going to focus on the Marlins Academy, though. The Marlins, very interesting, and most people, I think, understand the Marlins are really, they want to be the international team in America, you know, in baseball. They want to be the team that brings, you know, the fans in, Caribbean, Cuban, and all that. They want to bring those people to the park. And they make sure, what they do is, the middle is a walkway, there's steps there, but there's dorms everywhere. And I discussed with the head of the Marlins Dominican operation, I said, so what? How do you work this all out? He says, what we do is, each dorm has four little pods in it, and you must be from a different country or different island to be in the dorm. So a guy could be from Dominican, guy could be from Venezuela, Puerto Rico or Mexico, you know. You must be, because we want them to figure out how to get along. They have to figure it out. And of course, I'm always thinking, you know, some of these guys assign big bonuses. What do you do with them? How do you stop them from carrying their bling into Santo Domingo? And he says, well, we tell them, don't wear the Rolex into Santo Domingo, and if you're using your phone, keep it close to your keep it close to you. He said there's not much violent crime there. Now you might say differently after David Ortiz got shot, but there's not much violent crime. It's a lot of petty crime, and there's a reason that there's petty crime, because there's a lot of poverty, and I will get to that, what poverty does to the behavior of players. What happened was the full day of our trip, and I'm just going through the academy stuff, we went to Best of Latin America, and this is J.D. Osuna's, he's the head of it, it's his baby. Now we have fellows are 16, 17, 18 years old, and they're showing their wares, their stuff in front of major league scouts. So And I am telling you, they are the players, they are great. I'm telling you, they're just great players. And again, J.D. Ozuna, I'm not convinced is doing this out of the goodness of his heart, because J.D. Ozuna is a Bosconi. And J.D. Ozuna is trying to glom on to a player or two who's really good. So the scout, so some Major League scout can say, oh, Major League scout for the Phillies. Well, you know, we'll give him $200,000. And J.D. Ozuna has a 50% investment in it. It's worth it. Tell you, that's the only time the Bosconi is going to get any money is when they sign with the team for the first time. We were told by Romy Jimenez, who's a female agent there, very one of the few female agents that we have. She says it's a meat market, but the fact is that's what it is. It's a meat market. The truth is, Major League scouts are looking for the best of the best. We met up, and I mentioned we met up with Juan Soto's father's right in the middle. Look at the ballpark. This is a ballpark. It's not a Winter League park. It's a park with, you might be at in a, you know, somebody's academy or something. It's a dilapidated park. And you know, and there is, you know, so from Juan Soto's father's point of view, you know, my son's making money. He's sending money back to me. He's sending money back to the community. It's all good. But here's where we get the interesting thing. Last February, I participated in a Zoom call with the Philadelphia chapter. And Dr. Frank Close was talking. I was giving my presentation, and then he gave his presentation at the end of the day. And he wrote a book, From Trash Cans to Needles, Is There Disincentive to Cheat in Major League Baseball? And he's not only talking about DR guys, he's talking about other players from outside the U.S. How do some Dominican players get into and stay in the major leagues? Melky Cabrera, I think everybody remembers Melky Cabrera's. If you remember from the early teens, Melky Cabrera had an issue with the Giants. He was having a great year, and he paid somebody $10,000 to hide the fact that he was taking PEDs, but he was. After that, he was suspended, I think, for the rest of the year, and after that, he signed an $8 million two-year deal with the Blue Jays. Then after that, he signed a $42 million deal with the White Sox. So, why would Melky take the chance? We might think, oh my God, we can't do it. We don't want to get caught because it might affect our reputation. And if we're really good, the next guy, it might cost me a chance to get to the Hall of Fame. But we don't think that's their motivation, because players from the Dominican are mostly poor. And I said before, there is destitute poverty in much of the Dominican. There's almost nothing to lose with that big payday for them. Cabrera was known to fund clinics for young children to play baseball and to give them opportunities like his. The initiative supported over 50 health centers, provided meals, masks, and resources for children throughout the Dominican Republic. Can I ask you a question, Jacob? I'm sorry, let me just, I had videos in here and I can't get, is there any way to show a video the next time? I'm sorry, excuse me for stopping this for a second. I don't know which, let me just do this. Right there, if I want to play a video. Ah, thanks. All right, thank you. Sorry, so. The initiative supported over 50 health centers and provided meals, masks, and resources for children throughout the Dominican Republic. So you see, Melky was doing something good for the people of the Dominican. So from their point of view, that money's important. So he got hit with a suspension. Well, that's what happened. That's the cost of it. He still made money afterwards. Now we're going to go for the the Hall, the player we thought could be in the Hall, right? His money helped build the RC22 Dream School. The school is in San Pedro de Macorís. It's a really poor community, and we're just trying to provide to all of them to have a qualified education. Cano was also suspended for using PEDs 2014. He lost $12 million of his salary. Again, not much of an incentive towards using PEDs, because I think he made 100, I think, I don't know, before that or after that, he still made $120 million, but he was sending the money back to the Dominican. His motivation was that. He was destitute, and this is what he does. We might look at it like saying, wait a minute, you've just ruined your reputation. There's no way you can get to the Hall. And I think people would say that if Cano hadn't done PEDs, you'd be looking at a second baseman who was Hall, who had, if we talk about WAR, his WAR, I think, is pretty high. So that's the end of meeting potential made major leaguers. Now, on my flight down from Newark to Santo Domingo, I'm sitting there, and I have a Phillies shirt on, and it's, as everybody knows, it's cold in an airplane. So I'm bundled up, Phillies stuff and all that. Fellow comes sitting next to me, young, swarthy looking fellow. And I ask him, what do you do for a living? Never expected. He said, I'm a major league pitcher. I said, oh, who do you pitch for? He looks at me and says, I pitch for your team, the Phillies. And I said, well, I know what Jose Alvarado looks like, and I know what Sir Anthony Dominguez looks like. You must be Christopher Sanchez. Let's just say he was surprised that I figured out that one. And we talked. It was a very nice talk. Funny thing is, after all, I never got his I never took a photo of him. I never got his an autograph. But he did say he would have kept Wheeler in game six. But he was a pitcher, because I talked to Rob Thompson about that later, and he says, well, a pitcher would say that, you know? So now we go to see Winter League games, and we go to see the Estrellas Orientales host the Leones Escogido in San Pedro. Shane loves food, so he wants to show us the best food that we can get at the park. I'm not a foodie. I actually don't care, but I did taste some. It was for ballpark food. It was pretty darn good. The games, it's an interesting experience. I've been to games I've been to games in the Dominican, Cuba, Japan, the United States, Canada. Every game has a cadence. Every country has a cadence. And the cadence for that is, you have, I just want to show you, we went to Juan Marichal Stadium. He's a deity there. I just want to have you listen to the cadence of the game. So the cadence is bands come through the stadium and play. Not like what happens in the United States. It's almost like the Brooklyn Symphony, you know, the symphony at, people remember Ebbets Field, that's what it was. The people do it themselves. They create their own, if people know Yiddish, Ruach, they create their own excitement. They play a game called Batia outside the park. It's a stickball game. You use bottle caps and a broom. Well, I'll just show you. I went to a batting cage. I batted, and I did all right. These are Mets and Yankees. Just want to show you. I actually hit the ball. These are Mets and Yankee scouts. This guy here went to Harvard. The guy right there in the middle went to Harvard. He's from Long Island. I said, how do you folks think about it? He said, listen, if I can make a buck, they're very happy. He's 28. The final game, we were at a place called La Roma. Shane Barkley talked with Toros. They asked the general manager, Raymond Abreu. Raymond Abreu said he played for the New York Football Giants in the 90s. I looked it up. I don't know. I couldn't find his name anywhere, but what the heck, you know, he said it, so who am I to disagree? He works for the A's, and he told us that Sean Murphy was going to get traded, and he'd be right. The games are long because the hitters are much further ahead of the pitchers. It's just the way it is. The pitchers don't throw hard. The hitters are just there. We saw people like Clint Frazier played. I don't know. And finally, we were at the we went to the gas station ribs place. We met up with O'Neill Cruz, the shortstop of the Pirates. Pretty tall guy, right? We met up with Miguel Batista at the Museum American, Dominican ball player. He's the poet laureate of the Dominican. People remember him. He played for the Diamondbacks and others. Again, he says they're just trying to bring all the stuff back in to teach people about the Dominican players. They have a giant poster of, they call it the game between Marichal and Spahn. I think that just happened like 60 years ago in the last few days. This is where we stayed, Casa Hemingway, Playa is beautiful, and this is the gift I brought home. Just, I didn't get it on the plane because I landed 2.5 hours later. Lynn said, you gotta take the test, and I had it. So it is what it is. Thank you very, very much.
Actually, I have two questions. Number one, were there anybody that could tell you the difference between the environment now and what it might have been 20 years ago? Also, and the second question is, was there any teams that the Dominican players preferred to play for, like, you know, in the old days before the draft, if the Yankees offered a player in the Midwest a contract? I mean, they took it, no matter who else offered him. So was there any favorite teams that the Dominican people would rather play for?
I'll answer the second one first. I don't know. We didn't get into it, but there's 29 academies. So obviously the one team that we'll have to look up who's not there is probably not a favorite team. Just a thought. The first question is there any difference? You know, it's funny. I had a mindset once we started the trip, a mindset of what it would look like, and I think there is a difference today. I think it's everything is up. You know, I think for the players who signed with the academies, everything is upgraded. But the ballparks for the those academies that the Bosconis run, they're pretty dilapidated. You know, the stands are pretty dilapidated. Oh, sorry.
Hi. I've heard an answer to this question a number of times, but I'd like your take on it because you mentioned them trying to bring kids, these young boys from all over Latin America. Why is Haiti not a baseball playing country?
I talked to Pachi about it, and it's just, I think we have to go through the history of it. I think Dominican started playing baseball around the same time as Cuba. It was like 1872, and I think it just happened. And I just think the western part of Hispaniola, I don't think they played.
Can you quickly comment on what happened with the CBA and why the Dominican players were not brought into the draft? I know that was an item negotiated in the last CBA, and the last minute it stayed the way it was.
I think MLB teams actually want it like this because the Bosconis want to sell those players as immediately as possible. So they're willing to take a lesser deal. Why? Because they're from abject poverty. So, my God, you offer me $100,000, you offer me $10 million, you offer me $5 million, my God, you know, I have zero. You know, I think that's what it is. I'm sure it'll change. But once it changes, we're not going to get those players. We're not going to get the players as much. It'll be like Puerto Rico. It's all right. You're welcome.